Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy, your favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast, the internet's favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast. You have your two favorite hosts in the entire universe, world, galaxy. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey. It's a beautiful day for a podcast, and I sound like this, but we're doing this anyways, because far be it from us to have an unreliable recording schedule, am I right?
Ugh,
so if seriously. You don't want to listen to me go on a tangent or have a voice that sounds slightly different or inconvenience you in any way, turn off this podcast.
Yeah, but still leave us a 5-star review because we've earned it. Nah, that's all right.
It's fine.
Did you hear the big news today?
There's big news today.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess it. The news today.
It has nothing to do with Pokemon.
It's not about you. Is it about? It's not about you.
No, not about me, but it does affect me positively.
Is it about the Bears?
No, but the football season starts today.
I know, because I have a fantasy team. And I also have a fantasy team.
So. Should we talk about our lineups really quick?
Is that going to be... don't know what my lineup is because it's on Michael's phone because I did it on his phone because I said, I don't want to download another app. Let me do it on your phone.
Well, speaking of phones, the big news is Apple announced their first ever foldable screen iPhone. And
I'm
so
excited. Phone. I need to slam the phone shut on people again.
I'm sure you can.
No, it's not the same.
Okay.
I need to go, okay, fuck you, Carmen, and hang up like that. Slam it on. Turn the phone shut.
Just go back in time, buy another razor.
I did have the pink razor.
I had the gold razor.
Of course you had the gold razor.
I actually bought that gold razor like two years in a row. It was great. Jess's grandfather had a red razor and he had like three of them on back stock and he refused to get a touchscreen phone until the world basically forced him to. And that guy had a red, because his favorite color was red. Mm-hmm. He had a red Motorola razor for at least 10 out of the 15 years Jessica and I were together.
Michael's dad had a phone so old at one point that Verizon, anytime we'd go in to like update Michael's phone, they'd be like, who has this phone? Can you ask them to give it back to us? And they were like, we will pay this person to upgrade their phone. This can't be safe anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so funny. Old people be loving to stick with their phones, though, you know? Like,
And now he has one of the open book phones that opens into a whole fucking novel.
Well, that's what the iPhone Duo is going to do. Although, excuse me, a little small podcast burp slipped out. I actually was going to do it because I, as an Apple stock owner for the last 14 years, believe that I want to be a good shepherd of the company's stock and the mission and what it spends its research dollars on. However, the iPhone 18 Pro Max still has a far superior camera to the iPhone Duo. So for that reason, I'm out. So
that's interesting. Why can they not just figure out how to put the nice camera on the new phone?
I don't know, because they were busy. So it actually, if you watch the keynote, this is not sponsored by Apple. This is just me being a little bit of a fanboy nerd. The way they the screen has like kind of like these sliding layers where when you fold it, the screens itself kind of slide in on each other, kind of like armor. It's like really cool the way that they showed it. So that's why as you open and close it, the screen kind of fades as it opens and closes. And it also reduces like over time where the screen gets warped and curved and damaged over time. Okay. I'm a little bit of a nerd. I watch the Apple keynote every year. I haven't watched the new computer and new like wearables section yet. So I haven't watched the new Apple Watch or the new AirPods updates yet. But I will. I will do that probably tomorrow on the train. So
delightful.
Yeah. Also, next week, huge week in my personal life. We're driving to Tennessee on Sunday. Then on Monday, we have a full day in Dollywood. So exciting. Then on Tuesday, I fly from Knoxville to Savannah for work, and I'm there all day, Wednesday, Thursday. I come back at 5:30 in the morning from Savannah back to Knoxville, and then that's Friday, and then we leave from Knoxville back to Chicago Saturday. So a lot of driving, a lot of traveling. It's not really a family vacation, but in the middle of the week on the 16th, PSA for everyone, not sponsored by Target, Target will be dropping an Awala Pokemon crossover and the new 30th edition Pokemon stuff. So go buy me something. Charizard's my favorite Pokemon. And message me, and I'll give you my address to send it to me.
That's dropping on the 16th.
Yes, Wednesday.
Mm. Well, next week on Tuesday, we are driving to Atlanta and flying to Florida. And on Tuesday, we're going to go to Epic. And on Wednesday, we're going to go to Universal. And then Wednesday night, we're going to go to Horror Nights with my dad and my sister and Hunter. And then on Thursday, Michael's going to come home, and I am going to go to Brooke's Bachelorette.
Nice. We just bought something for her. We're getting it mailed to her.
Yes, I Jess also and I, have yeah. to do that.
But yeah, so anyone out there, Pokemon drop on the 16th. It's the 30th anniversary set, and you should get me something. Specifically Elite Trainer boxes.
Please don't buy this man anything.
Buy this man. I also need to shout out like a gigantic, mega, super gigantic shout out to our dear friend Nikki, who mailed me a piece of art that she did. It's Pikachu and Eevee in doctor's uniform. Like when actual doctors wear their costume, it's called a uniform.
So true.
When you and I wear them, it's called costume.
It's just I'm having that reaction because I'm literally just now in this moment remembering that she did send me that, and I was like, I'm not going to show Carmen because I'm going to show him live on the podcast, and literally forgot until right now, and that is a bummer for me and Nikki because that actually is the cutest picture, but I will post it on Instagram if that's okay with her.
So I hope so.
How cute it is.
It's sitting in our kitchen right now, and Marlo will hold it and say, Daddy, can I look at it? And I said, Marlo, just use your eyes. You don't need to. I think that's the thing that I hate most about kids. They don't understand their eyes are for looking.
They don't understand what words are. No, I saw Lauren sent me something, and it was, can you die from your kids asking too many questions? Because it feels like you can.
You absolutely can. I think it's called...
Every day.
Parent child crime. Anyways. Okay.
I don't think we have anything else to say. So we're just going to start this episode. Sorry I sound like this, but I'm also not sorry because it's my life.
Yeah, don't be sorry.
This is how I have to fucking live now. Okay. So before we start this episode, we're going to do a pretty big trigger warning because this one goes in heavily to self-harm and suicidal thoughts and suicide attempts. So in regards to Ellis, and then also like just really heavy on like childhood trauma. So if you didn't watch this episode, that is a large part of the conversation. So if you cannot listen to that, please don't listen to this. We don't want to be upsetting. Okay.
Also, it's worth noting that September is
Suicide awareness. That's so true.
Yeah. And especially in the veterinary medicine field. I know there's quite a few listeners out there who are in the field, both in practice management. Shout out to our dear friend Rick, who is in Florida right now. Went to Chicken Guy for the first time. Loved it. She did not like Dole Whip, though, which is
like Dole Whip very much because I'm
being attacked. But well, she got the raspberry one.
Well, that one is good. So
I'm getting hate crime from you and from her against Dole Whip. So please stop. The veterinary and we have doctors, we have techs. A lot of people that I work with listen to this podcast now because they want to support me in the show, and I'm grateful for that. But yeah, September is Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. If you are in immediate crisis or you need to reach the Suicide Crisis Lifeline for free, for confidential support, call or text 988, or you can visit the 988 Lifeline chat online to speak to someone. So you're not alone.
The world is better because you're here.
Yes. And the feelings that you feel are real. I think that's the biggest thing that valid. I constantly are trying to navigate. Like, people don't. I don't want to minimize, because I'm not trying to, so please don't mistake this. People don't harm themselves or have thoughts of harming themselves with no feelings. The feelings that exist are valid, and there are always people to talk to. There are three people in my immediate life, in my immediate family, two in my family, one friend, who has committed suicide. So this is something that hits very close to home for me. And there are people in my life who are on antidepressant medication because of thoughts of self-harm. So, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners experience a lot of these traumas and struggles and thoughts every single day. So please know that you're not alone. So, trigger warning.
Yes, thank you. That was well said. Okay, so this episode is episode 4 of the 11th season. And this is episode 224 overall. And this episode is called Only Mama Knows. And that is a song.
Only Mama Knows is by the one who will make me have to call into work for a couple of days, the way that Dolly knocked the entire state of Tennessee, but specifically Kelsey, on her ass.
Yep.
Paul McCartney. This is from... Only Mama Knows is off of the album Memory Almost Full, which is the 15th fucking solo studio album, which is crazy. Not as many as, how many did Elton John have? Like 160? Something crazy. No, it was a lot. I think it was like 29. Yeah. But this was released in the UK on June 4th, 2007. Only Mama Knows is a song that exists in my iTunes library. The other singles from this, or the singles from this one, Only Mama Knows was not a single off this. It was Ever Present Past, Dance Tonight, which is an absolute banger, and then, excuse me, Nod Your Head. All of those were released in April, June, and then August 2007 subsequently. The song itself did not chart, but the album reached in the top 100 in a number of countries. The Australian charts, Austria, Belgium, Canada, Finland, France, Germany, Greece, Hungary, Ireland, Italy, Japan, Mexico, Norway, Scotland, Spain, Sweden, Switzerland, the UK, and reached as high as number 3 on the US Billboard 200, and then number 1 on the US Top Rock Albums for Billboard. So, pretty darn good
for Paul McCartney. He does okay for himself, that guy.
He does okay. That's for sure. I will say, I usually am not a huge opponent? I was going to say, what's the opposite of proponent? Opponent. I'm not usually a huge opponent of AI, but I did see some terrible AI slop of Paul McCartney and Ringo talking, and they were walking across the Abbey Road crosswalk. So don't AI something that should just happen in real life. Okay?
Just don't generate AI. Don't use generative AI to steal other people's artwork. Or kill the
Yeah, planet. This is the last thing I'll say about AI. I saw a meme that, and I'm paraphrasing here, but it was like, don't use AI to make art while I do my dishes. Make AI to do my dishes while I make art, or something like that. So, AI needs to be regulated. The files for you, New York, have finally been released. The Epstein file should be released. Kelsey, take it away.
This episode was written by Mark Driscoll. He has not done an episode. This is his first episode that he's ever written for Grey's. However, he does go on to write several more for several more seasons. And we'll get into it. But I did take note to look that up, because I felt like it was a different tone but still did a good job capturing the characters. It just told the story in a different way, but in a way that I personally found very interesting and compelling. This episode was directed by Nicole Rubio, who is, she plays the paramedic Nicole in the show. She's directed a couple other episodes as well. This episode aired October 16th, 2014 to 8.43 million viewers. And the Netflix synopsis for this one is, while sparring with Derek over his decision to stay in Seattle, Meredith struggles to come to terms with Maggie being her half-sister. I'd say that's a pretty good synopsis.
Yeah. Dare I say, kind of a good and bad episode for Derek?
Derek has, in this episode, the best he's been all season, but it is a blip compared to every other moment he has been on the screen this season. And yeah, a little bit of last season, too.
It's not been a good season for Derek.
He's really doubling down on it, but I'll say this. Yeah, the moment that he hugs Maggie when she tells him, genuinely is not only the best moment for him this season, the best moment for him in a while, it is one of the best Derek moments of all time, in my opinion. I often think of that moment because I just like, he just like becomes like giddy in a, like a complimentary way. And I do think that it was imperative to Maggie, like ultimately being okay, that she had someone have that reaction. And I do think it was very genuine of him. And I, when he's like, Meredith is bad at having sisters and I'm really good at it, like, I do think that he meant that not in like a derogatory way to Meredith, but just in like, she has to process through things. And I also liked that he immediately was like, I have to go to Meredith. Like, he gives her the hug and he's like, I have to go, but please don't leave, because he had to go to Meredith. And I did think, again, the moment where he's like, I have to know if you're okay. Like, I did also feel like that was genuine.
And then he goes to hold her hand while she's talking.
I do think, like, the moment between Derek and Maggie and the final moment between Derek and Meredith were good on Derek. Ultimately, I still hate Derek Shepherd. Ultimately, what he's currently doing and consistently being called out on is a whole bucket of bullshit. But I'm also going to recognize that, like, that moment with him and Maggie, I think, really stands out in my memory as one of my favorite Derek moments, which are few and far between. But that's a good one. And yeah, I don't think it erases all the other stuff, but I do think that it is still noteworthy.
When he's hugging her and then he says, nice to meet you.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, Derek, okay.
And then when she says, this is so strange, and he goes, yeah, I know, but don't, I gotta go, but don't leave.
Yeah, it's very cute. This episode definitely was a little bit hard to follow at times because I couldn't tell all, well, I guess, so they were using new footage of Ellis. So I don't know if that actress came back for this episode.
So, yeah, she would have recorded that speech that was like that Meredith was watching, that was like the grainy acceptance speech. Or she's just giving a talk about the Gray Method and about her experience winning the Harper Avery and just like being a woman in the surgical field in the time that she was going through like her intern and residency. So she would have come back and filmed that. For the flashbacks where she was like lucid and previously admitted in the hospital, that was stuff from season like 3, 1, 2, 3-ish.
Yeah, those
obviously
scenes,
'cause she dies in 3, so.
Right. Spoiler alert. That was definitely like all of those scenes where she was either in the nursing home with Meredith. Mm-hmm. There was a scene where she was in the nursing home with Weber, or he was like in the nursing home watching her. And then there was the scene where I think it was like her actual final lucid moments before she had passed, I think, with Weber.
No, that one, is it when, I don't, that's not.
When she's talking about the family?
When she dies. I think that's just when she's lucid, in one of the early times, because then I believe that's the same episode where she says to like, imagine my disappointment when you're nothing but ordinary. And then Meredith comes back in and gives her this big speech about like, I'm not ordinary. And then she's like, you remind me of my daughter. I think that's the same episode. Different from when she dies, because when she dies is when Meredith also dies in the drowning.
You're right.
And I don't think that Derek looked, or sorry, that Richard looked like that, like with the hair and the gray and all the, like, and the beard and everything when they were there when Meredith was drowning. But I could be getting it mixed up, I'll be honest.
Yeah, I feel like I'm having a hard time keeping all of it straight. And if I am, then you definitely are my saving hero here.
I'm not even high on NyQuil right now.
Not even high on NyQuil. I almost did an edible in Colorado, but then I didn't.
Jessica told me.
Yeah. I didn't do it because she was being so weird about it. I'm like, if that's the place to do it, that's the place to do it, where it's a safe space. We're not going out anywhere.
Well, the issue becomes when you come back to the place where it's not legal and it's still in your system for a very long time.
Oh, my gosh.
It should be legal everywhere, is my
stance. Legal in Illinois.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
Yeah.
But is it legal at your job? Like, if your job came in and drug tested you?
Oh, my gosh. If they drug tested me and then they didn't drug test the rest of the team, that does worse. Like, no. I'm fine. Anyways. So yeah, I digress. So I can't remember the scene where Ellis dies.
It's in the episode.
But they're both dead together for a minute? Yeah. Like in the, okay. All of their moments that they have together that they share are in the afterlife.
All of them?
No. Right? No. And that's in that episode when she dies. Like all of the talking they do is.
She comes into the hospital and Meredith has already been
drowning,
or like maybe Meredith leaves to go drown at the boat accident because her mom's there.
Yeah, I don't remember all of it. That's an episode that I would like to rewatch with hindsight and maybe Patreon being a part of that.
Yeah. Well, that's a three-parter.
Is it really?
Well, I would say the relevant part is two parts. Like one, the first one ends with her going in the water. And then there's two episodes of her being in the afterlife. If I'm remembering correctly. Again, it's late, I'm ill, and we're on 11 now, and it's season 3. So much was different. George and Kelly were married.
That is crazy. Also, unrelated to anything happening right now, I need Drake May to have just a ball of a night right now.
Do you have him on your team?
I do.
I have him on my team.
Okay, I have Drake May.
Okay. Maybe I do have a screenshot of this.
If you do, let me know. Okay, I have Saquon Barkley.
I don't have him.
I have Quinshon Judkins. I don't know who that is, but I love his name. And then I have... Did I really not have another running back? What is this? Who's this guy? Oh, he's a running back. I should have had him starting tonight, but it's okay. And then I've got Puka. Puka was my first overall pick. Drake London at wide receiver on the Falcons. I have Harold Fannin Jr., tight end. My flex this week, I've got Amika Egbuka, wide receiver on Tampa. I got the Bears defense. And then I got some kicker for the Houston team. Kaimi Fairbairn.
The Houston team, guys.
The Houston Texans. I know the Texans.
Houston team.
I want you to know that in my mind, I did say Texans.
Okay. I have Drake May. Bijan Robinson was my first round draft pick.
Nice.
I don't know all these people's first names. So I have C. Brown from the Bengals. Waddle from the Broncos. Lamb from the Cowboys. Olave from the Saints, Kraft from Green Bay. I have Justin Myers as my kicker, the Broncos defense. And then on my bench, I have Washington, Williams, Brooks, Herbert, I looked up how to pronounce this.
On the bear? Munungai?
Yeah,
on the bears.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's my boy.
He's on my bench right now.
Kyle Munungai.
My
he's great.
Final draft pick was, of course, Travis Kelce.
Final? He lasted that long in your league?
Yeah, he's... Also, there's only like 8 people in my league.
Oh, okay. There's... My league has 10 people.
Yeah. I think we have 7 or 8, and I was the second or third pick. So, I was second because that's how I got Bijan Robinson.
Puka was my first pick, and then I had a couple rounds where I was out of it, and the AI was drafting for me, and then I tagged back in, and the best quarterback available was Drake May, so I'd love for him to just go off and just really crush it today. That'd
be nice.
I don't
remember if I started him or Herbert tonight, I'll be honest, because I think I got my matchup to see who was playing whom, and by what I really do is text my dad. Who should I start?
Well,
what
last
I did when
year,
we drafted was I FaceTimed my dad and pointed the phone at the computer and I said, tell me what to do.
Oh, goodness.
So I'm locked in.
Last year, shout out Leah, your husband helped me last year. Mark was like really very helpful with the...
What app do you use for it? Do you use the ESPN?
The ESPN Fantasy app, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I use as well, but... My dad was not impressed with their predictions and rankings of everybody. So, but we'll see how it goes. They graded my draft afterwards. Did they grade your draft? They gave you a letter grade on how you did?
Yeah, mine was a B.
Mine was a C. So we'll see how I do at the end of the year.
We'll
I hope
see
that I win
how I do.
So that I can tell everyone to kiss my fucking ass.
Well, okay, hold on. This is the last thing we're going to say about fantasy because I know people typically,
love
I think...
the tangents, man. The people great. On Spotify are thrilled with us right now.
Are there more comments?
I'll get into it, but let me just say the majority
what?
Of people were very on our side, and I love all of our defensive little babies.
Good. So I recognize that most of the Grays audience probably is not into fantasy football.
Yeah, I don't know that the Venn diagram's a circle, or even a Venn diagram. I think it's two separate circles.
It's a parallelogram that doesn't...
Barely overlapping, just a touch.
It's a small... Like, if Grey's Academy wasn't already a niche listening crowd, the Grey's Anatomy and fantasy football crowd is even more
four
niche.
Four people.
Yeah. So, for all four people listening to this, but I... Oh, shit, what was I going to say?
Something about fantasy.
Yeah. I don't fucking remember. I feel so dumb. Oh, last year, I didn't realize that the playoffs start before the actual playoffs. Like, the fantasy playoffs start in week, 14 or something.
Yeah, and I don't know.
So that they don't rest their players, so that you have a better chance of, actually getting your starters to get the real points because the games still matter or something like that. And I didn't know that. So I missed 1 week of changing my lineup. And if I had my starters, I would have won against the person who went on to win, and I kept changing my roster every week and all the points, I would have won first place in the league. Motherfucking fuckers. I'm so mad. I'm going to take that shit to my grave. So this is redemption year. This is my year, baby.
Amazing.
All right, let's do capitalism, then we'll finish. All right, capitalism. Okay. Fantasy draft. Take it away. And we are back. Okay, thank you.
Also,
all right.
We have explicitly told them we don't want gambling ads. And the gambling ads, especially now that football has started up, have ramped up again so much. So I know people have let us know. If you hear it, let us know.
Yeah.
We don't want gambling ads. We don't want AI ads. We don't want gun specific ads.
Yeah, we have, or religion. We have all of it turned off.
We're supposed to have anything that is relevant to those things. We are not supposed to be we explicitly told our platform we don't want to be using our space for those ads. So if you do hear them, please let us know, because we reach out to our platform and let them know so that they can basically go in and see who is lying about what their ads are to kind of sneak and backdoor into other people's platforms. It's really shady.
Yeah.
But
no,
yeah,
thank
the
you.
The the gambling ads have gotten insane. And just like, be cautious, guys.
Yeah, cautious, please.
Okay. So,
Derek, wait, can I ask you one last question?
Yeah.
What's your fantasy team name?
Future Swift Song, because that's what Michael changed it to last year, and I don't have enough brain power to think of something interesting to change it to.
Mine is it's an acronym, so it shows up as LIT. It's literally insanely talented. So
that's not all of the ones in the league, I will say, are pretty punny. Like one of them is Saved by LaBelle. One of them is Bed Bath and Bijan.
Nice.
Yeah, there's a couple of really funny ones. So anyways, okay.
I should do Drake, May the Force Be With You.
Nice. Hold on, I have to cough. Fill for time.
All right, I'm literally going to change it right now. I don't even know how to change the name on my team. Let's see.
Okay.
Edit my team.
So.
Yeah.
Back in regards to the characters on, or the actors rather. So they did recast Flashback Ellis.
Oh.
So we had previously seen Sarah Paulson, but then I think she maybe got a little bit more famous or was just very busy doing maybe like American Horror Story or one of the other million like Ryan Murphy things that she does. So she was not able to come back for this. So this is a different person. Same Flashback Richard from season 6. Different Flashback Chief, because it was Mitchum Hunsberger / Hollis Doyle the first time. And then it was this old guy this time. So timeline wise with the flashbacks, we're getting a little muddy. Mostly with just the Ellis and Richard relationship, because when Ellis won her first Harper Avery, Weber shows Leah and Steph maybe a picture of the two of them together. But then like in a different episode, he tells Meredith, oh, I like watched from the back of the room because your dad was there. She was there with your dad. But like, they're already broken up at like Thatcher and Ellis, and also Thatcher and Ellis and Richard would have been broken up. So it's just like confusing. They're kind of just blowing up their own timeline, but we're not supposed to think this deeply about it regardless. Like, we see the audacious, the audacious, yes, Ellis, yes, Gray in her prime, making the Gray Method, publishing the Gray Method, everyone being mad that she called it the Gray Method, but like literally what else would she call it? Like, she's not the first person to name something she discovered after herself, or created rather. She is, in this field specifically, the first woman to do that, but no one batted an eye when a man did it.
Yeah.
As per always.
Sexist.
Patriarchy. Misogyny. Okay. I did love the speech she was giving at the beginning and the end of the episode.
I had a hard time reading the emotion she was feeling at the end.
When she says, where were we?
Yeah, she's like, and this is for all the women who will come after me. And then she kind of has like a look on her face, and she kind of like...
Because she says, like, where were we? Because she has Alzheimer's. Supposed to be like a little, it's not really foreshadowing for us because we already know and it's already happened in our timeline, but I believe that's what they were doing. In my opinion, that's what they were doing.
Oh, what's so funny, my interpretation of it was she was getting emotional at thinking about her daughter being a surgeon and doing the Gray Method.
That's
someday.
Also, I think, a very valid interpretation. Like, truly, that's, I think, my interpretation. I've seen other people posit the same thought online, and I believe one of our Discord questions also was, do you think that's what they were doing? But I also really like your take. I do think also there's just like confusion about the way, like, the level at which Ellis quote unquote hates Meredith. And, like, when did she start hating her? Did she always hate her? Like, it's just confusing. Is hate the wrong word? Like, it's just, there's a lot of up and down kind of around with it. Especially, like, having, you know, since she's not there anymore. I think there's more questions. Obviously, we're mostly privy to Meredith's side of it, I'm going to cough again.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, Kelsey's having a hard time. Her whole body's in that cough. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's not going great. I sound like this for a reason. But, yeah.
I like that take on it. I like the speech. I like the way that she starts it. I also would not have noticed, because I don't remember the person that they use in the flashback. So those scenes, I don't think I would have caught.
Yeah.
That was happening.
They did a good job with, you know, having to recast. I think they did a good job.
Yeah. The even like young Meredith, yeah. Young Ellis, young Richard, it all seems like they did a good job casting everyone there. I did not remember that the chief was that one guy. He was also Star-Lord's father, I believe.
Mm. Yeah, grandfather.
Grandfather, yes. His father was a handsome 80s star.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, this is going to bother me. I need to look this up.
So here's the three actresses. So this was Sarah Paulson, which was the first time the season 6 flashback.
Okay.
And then this is the one from today, the one you just watched.
Okay.
And then this is
Ellis.
Big grown-up Ellis that we know.
Yes, yes.
So. But yeah, I did think the recasting was fine. And I also do agree that the young Meredith casting is really well done as well. God, I hate Derek so much. Oh, I hate him so much. When he's like, you sound like your mother. Oh, I just want to punch his stupid face. Just want to right in his nose and just mess up his hair.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, I don't like it.
What is... Sorry, I'm still on the Guardians of the Galaxy thing.
Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell! Thank you. Did you search it? Did you know that answer?
No, I actually knew it the whole time. I just like thought you were doing a bit.
No, Kurt Russell. Like the name truly escaped me.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
I could be back. Because I'm talking about how much we hate Derek.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, all right. Another actor with good hair. Kurt Russell, Derek Shepherd.
Both Patrick real Dempsey. People.
Both real people. Yes.
Yeah, so obviously Derek and Meredith are still arguing because Derek still sucks a bunch about the DC thing. And like, it's just like rehashing the same thing over and over. And she can't breathe because he's like, okay, do something to make this worthwhile. Do something meaningful because I've turned down a job.
Saying I'm waiting for you to shine. What a fucking dick. Way yeah. to say whatever you're trying to say. And when she says something later on in the episode, where is it she's going to Meredith, they're talking. Oh no, that's different. Because that's where they have the truce, and that's actually kind of a cute scene when Derek and Meredith when she's big mad about him and she says, I'm living under the weight of your disappointment now. Yeah. And why don't you call Barack back right now and take that job back, bitch?
Get on the next plane and fucking go. Yeah. And she's like, you're saying that I'm my mother, but you're my mother because I have to live under your disappointment now, just like I had to live under hers. So who's Ellis now?
Yeah.
Because she says, she's like, it'd be fine if you were comparing me to her, like career wise. Cause like, she was an excellent surgeon, but you're specifically doing it in like a wife and mother way because you want to hurt me, and you did. Congratulations. Like, you accomplished your goal. So fucking stand by it. If you're going to run your mouth, you got to stand by that shit, Derek.
Yeah. Your mouth's cashing checks that your ass can't cash.
So true. I hate him. Ugh,
yeah.
Those were
dick moves. Those are dick moves.
Yeah.
And also, wait, I gotta say, Amelia being a part of some of these scenes was just so funny.
I love
because
her.
There was the one scene where they're in with, I think it's Roy. Roy is doing this thing, and that Roy is having a hard
time.
She's
being so delightfully weird.
Yeah, she's like, hey, I got things to do because I'm the chief and I'm important. So Derek, why don't you and Pierce, you guys should talk. I don't know. maybe about your wife. Bye-bye. And then she leaves.
Bye-bye now.
And then he comes back later and something about Meredith comes up and she goes, hey, have you guys talked about your wife? And Derek goes, what about Meredith? And she goes, oh, you have not talked. Bye.
She's like, I can't say anything because I made a promise in AA. And he's like, is Maggie in AA? And she's like, no, but also I can't say anything.
Yeah.
Ooh, go talk to your wife. And then he's like, I can't. He's like, then go talk to Maggie. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just truly there.
She's like being like funny. The ghost of Christmas past. It's so fucking funny.
Yes. Yes.
So funny. I love Amelia so much. I don't understand why people don't like Amelia. I really don't get it, you guys.
Honestly, I have no context and I like Amelia.
I don't get it. I love her.
Who was the ghost of Christmas past in A Muppet's Christmas?
Muppets. It was a creepy doll.
Oh. Creepy doll Muppet.
I haven't watched that.
No, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah, no. It's like, no. It's not a named Muppet for that one.
That's Michael Caine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to watch that someday.
Incredible work. Life-changing, truly.
Remember when last year around Christmas, we went to go watch that, Jess turned it on and said, so let's watch A Muppet's Christmas Carol.
And but then you the watched just like The Muppets Take Manhattan or some shit.
It was The Muppet, they saved the theater for Christmas, oh. Right? I think it's just Muppets movie. Oh, no,
that's
movie.
Not for Christmas. They just saved the theater. You just watched a Muppet movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is also a good movie.
It was fine.
I hate you.
Muppets, guys, Muppets are so less than mid. I don't even know what to tell you all.
You're just wrong. Like, I am sorry, truly, because your childhood was bad. And that's not your fault.
But that's a good point. That's
negatively
a fair point.
Impacted your opinions as an adult in a way that bothers me. So if you could sort that out with Renee, I'd really appreciate it.
Renee, listen, Renee and I have other fish to fry. Man.
I couldn't go to therapy this week because, believe it or not, my voice was worse yesterday. I could not, like, make... I was like, there'd be no point. We would just be sitting there in silence because I can't speak.
Sometimes silence speaks louder than words.
Yeah, but it's not worth anybody's time. I can give her that hour back to herself.
You should never diminish the amount of time, the value of your time. Well, that's one of the things that we talked about in therapy one time.
You should...
I went to therapy and I was like, Renee, I don't even know what to talk about because things are good. And she's like, okay. And I was like, I feel bad. Like, I feel bad that we're sitting here talking and I have nothing to talk about. And she said, like, that's good. Let's talk about your wins because it's good to celebrate those and don't ever feel like that's not worth your time. And I was like, oh, bless you, angel.
Yeah. But if you could also like, maybe you talk about like, your views on other people's time.
If you like want Trump.
No. Like any, like just stop being late to everything because you don't value other people's time. You were late today.
Yeah, because of my wife. I was ready to go at 8:15.
Anyways.
Wow. You guys hear this out here?
They would love it if you were on time. Trust me, they have all kinds of issues with anything we're off time. By they, I mean like two people. That's really fine.
This is the tangent. This is back to the tangents.
No, this is something else. But do you remember Clara? Good times. My favorite bits when we used to be like, sorry, Clara, when we would go on a tangent.
I miss Kit and Peanut Jones.
I also think about Kit and Peanut Jones often.
What was it? Puppy Cashew Smith?
That was a good one.
That was a good one. That was a good review.
Okay.
Anything else with Derek? Dark.
No, I just think he still sucks a lot. What do you think is gonna come of his bullshittery?
I feel like when he said because he walks in and he says something to the effect of "We're done fighting," and I was like, "You always want to do this. You want to make these unilateral decisions about our life. Like now we're not fighting. Blah blah blah.
A valid point.
Totally fair." And he's like, "No. We're gonna fight probably the rest of our lives. We'll probably fight tomorrow." I felt that. In the core of my soul, I get it. But he said, this is family. I don't want to fight about family. I don't want to fight about these big things. Like, we come and talk to each other. So that scene made me feel like their chances of getting a divorce went down by 50%. So I think we're at like a 21% chance they get a divorce now.
Okay.
So it's looking like they're going to stay together until the very bitter end. I'll tell you what I thought was going to happen, because I know Shonda's not the showrunner anymore, but she's truly fucked with my brain. When he said, don't leave until I get back, I thought he was going to go and die.
Well, he didn't say that to Meredith.
No, no. He said that to Pierce. Don't leave until I get back.
But when because you then, say that to your spouse, that's when you die.
No, no. But like, if he dies, then he'll never come back. So she can never leave.
Right. But I'm just saying things like that in Shonda are only like relevant when you say them to your spouse or child.
He said it to family, though.
So yeah, I think that's it for Derek. What do you think? I would have loved to see Derek talk to Richard about it, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd have been nice. If we get any kind of like
that journey together.
Males hyping each other up in a positive way in this show would be nice.
Well, they've just like done, they've just been through so many other weird relationshipy type dramas together. They have such an odd relationship. It's like very mentor slash friend slash boss slash what the hell are we doing all the time? Well, you know, like most people in this hospital.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would have loved to see Derek maybe kind of walk with Richard through this. I feel like Richard could use a bit more support.
Yeah. It is interesting. So like Bailey spent this entire episode, because now she's on the board, which, by the way, there was drama between the Alex and the Bailey of it all, which makes sense. Mm-hmm. Whenever there's a vote, there's some fallout. We've seen that in America. So there was this moment where Bailey goes to Weber and says, you should really be the one. Like, I would love to have you talk to Pierce. And she's like, well, I don't want you to get involved. He yells at her. She says, I have nothing. I don't want anything to do with her. And when he says, she's like, I think she's leaving because of you. And he goes, well, yeah, she's my daughter. And she says, thank God, I thought you two fucked. And that was just so funny. And when he says that she doesn't want to talk to him, mm-hmm. when Bailey says, if she knew you, she would stay.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm too late. And she says, there's no such thing. I like that scene a lot, because Bailey both is handing Weber some truth that if she knew the real you and if she took that time, she wouldn't mm-hmm. be leaving and she would actually want to hear what you have to say. But she brings a lot of like levity to the situation when she's like, I'm so glad you two didn't have sex. Like,
that's thank God you were fucking this person.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a good scene.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah, let's with the vote with so Arizona tells Alex, oh, the vote was actually really close. And Arizona also stupidly tells Bailey, oh, it was unanimous. Okay, like tell a lie to make your friend feel better. Like, I honestly don't have issue with that. Like, to make someone feel better. Like, but you have to like, you got to keep, if you're going to lie, you got to keep track of it, guys. You can't just be lying and truthing at out of both sides of your mouth. Like, you got to just, you know, you got to pick one.
Yeah.
You're going to get yourself in trouble. Like, you know?
And this is unfortunately a situation where Steph was like playing on the side of Bailey.
I did not care for her involvement in it. When, like,
yeah,
I
exactly.
just didn't like the attitude. Like, when Alex said that and she's like, oh, okay. Like, I just would have been like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, I could see that. Like, sorry you didn't get it.
And she's like, oh, nothing. And then Alex had to threaten her with
poop.
Poop. I think he said disimpacting bowels for like 600 years, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was uncool. Uncool.
And then I like still watching Joe with Maggie.
Yes.
And then, so Alex is a peds attending now.
Yeah, good for him.
That's the resolution for him to have a job there and still be on the show.
Which makes sense, which I predicted that they were going to give him a job. So correct prediction again for the 100,000,000th time.
A medium correct prediction.
And basically the point of that is like, because him and Arizona finally do have a moment to talk together.
Mm-hmm.
And basically she says, I've been being fucked over by Dottie from A League of Their Own, mm-hmm. Gina Davis, yep. right? All damn day. I think she hates me. And I need someone that I trust to not be mentored by me right now,
yeah.
but to be me. Because that's what he says. He's like, why would my mentor lie to me? He's like, I can't be your mentor right now. I need you to be me. This is what's happening. And also, Meredith also calls him out too.
Yeah, like, I honestly don't have a problem with what Meredith says. I do feel like maybe she could have presented it a little bit better. Like, you don't have to kick him while he's down. She did. She's just like, I don't know. Like, don't sugarcoat it, but you could just still say it in a little bit nicer way.
Yeah, like they're in the middle of the surgery.
But I also feel like he could have approached it differently. Like, I don't feel like just the level of communication whenst attempting that conversation, it could have just kind of been like the whole, all both sides of it could have been a little different. But I am glad that Meredith was honest with him, because for me, if Meredith had lied, that would not have tracked.
Yeah.
For either their friendship or like just her character.
Yeah, when Meredith, so yeah, he confronts her in the middle of that surgery, that Nadia girl,
mm-hmm.
and he says something to the effect of like, dude, why would you lie to me? That's uncool. Because, and she's like, well, how would you know? And he's like, well, Steph, and Steph's right there.
Yeah.
And Meredith says, Alex, you'd be a fine board member, but Bailey would be an exceptional one.
Mm-hmm.
And her speech was better. She said, do you want me to pity vote for you? And she said, well, I wouldn't. Bitch. Yeah. So what's your take on that as like a rule of thumb? Like saying that the thought process of you would be a fine board member, but this person would be an exceptional one. Like,
well, I think the person, like, just because if you would do a job well, but there's someone who would do it better, then the better person should get the job.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, yeah, like Alex would have been good at it, but I also think like he is still in a spot in his career where being more just like patient focused is going to be better for him in the long run. And I also just like love seeing him in Pete. So I'm obviously, and he has not really had to go through anything where he's had to like balance that admin and surgical like schedule side of it. And so I think that would be difficult for him. Versus Miranda has already done that when she was like chief resident and the other, just, you know, she's just been doing it longer. So she has different levels of experience to
running all
to
the
it.
Trials.
Yeah. So in my opinion, I think it does make sense that they gave it to Miranda. I also understood why you thought they would just give it to both of them, but I also knew that that was not going to happen. So.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah.
One thing that I will say, man, did I really just lose my train of thought that quickly?
Alex, Miranda,
oh, yeah. I guess I just wonder the difference, because there's difference of like voting shares and ownership shares of a company. And of,
yeah, I don't know that really like gets explained or hashed out.
Yeah, because if Alex still owns the shares that Christina gave, and he's collecting the profit share of those interests or the profit interest of those shares, but he's not a voting board member, I'm like, that's fine. I'll still take the check.
Yeah. And he says he gets a raise. You know, he's like, I should make more money.
Does he get the raise?
I
he
took
says?
That to be like, she's like, yes, we'll get you more money.
That like, is what I thought. I but what I needed some clarity on that, because like, I need a lot more money. She goes, yeah, a lot. And then they both kind of laugh and walk away. If I said that to my boss and I was like, I need a lot more money, he goes, yeah, a lot more. I'd be like, okay, so when?
When yeah, is but that they have happen? A different relationship, so.
Oh.
I think he gets. I think she goes to bat for him and gets him some more monies.
Get that man more money.
That would be my take on it.
Yeah, I like it. I like. Listen, good for Alex. He's got debts to pay, and he's got like a hot girlfriend that mm-hmm. they need to be able to run away together. You know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where are they going to run to?
somewhere exotic and luxurious like Muncie, Idaho. Indiana.
Oh, we were right on the same wavelength.
Same wavelength.
We did it.
That's one of my favorite Parks and Rec running bits.
Yeah. I just love Parks and Rec. I was talking to someone for work and they were like, oh, can you also send this email to my father-in-law because he's handling this? His name is Robert Swanson. And I was like, oh, that's so close to Ron.
I'm sure there's a Ron Swanson out there.
Oh, there has to be like a bunch. Like that name is not particularly unique.
Yeah. Did you know that John Smith is not just the name of someone from the movie Pocahontas, but
John
also
Smith.
A person.
Oh no. Herman died. I can't even see him. He fell off the screen. Person.
I was going to say a person that also lives down the street. There's a John Smith down the street.
Oh, there is.
No, I don't know. It was just a joke, but I got so distracted by saying Perthen.
It wasn't a very good joke either, so that's good. I actually thought you were going to say he wasn't from the movie Pocahontas. He was from history.
Yeah. Marlo really got me good today. We were watching an episode of Super Kitties, and they're trying to explain what Christmas is about. And I go, Marlo, what's Christmas? What makes Christmas? Is it the gifts? And she goes, no. And I go, right, it's the people, right? It's like you and me and our family being together. And she goes, no, it's the day. The day of Christmas makes it the day. That's why it's called Christmas. And I was like, and Jess just gives her a high five. And I'm sitting there like, you're not wrong, offspring of mine.
Yeah.
This is what I'm going to have to deal with the rest of my life. So I hope everyone out there is happy.
I'm not. Okay. Anything else from this first one that we want to throw in really quickly?
We might remember more in the next one, but let's go ahead and let's take a potty break and do another episode.
I'm going to go boil some water for tea.
You mean just like throw a cup of water in the
microwave?
No, I'm
going to boil the water. I have a tea kettle like a normal person.
I'll see you in 45 minutes.
I'll be back in less than 10. You probably will be late again.
I'm going to sit here the whole time.
Okay, well then we'll start with everyone's favorite segment.